John 7, verses 1 through 13, how should we listen to these words?
Very carefully.
Why? What is so special about these words?
They are the words of God.
Okay. John 7, 1 through 13. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, Depart from here and go into Judea, so that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world. For even his brothers did not believe in him. Then Jesus said to them, My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify of it that its works are evil. You go up to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were, in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, Where is he? And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said, He is good. Others said, No, on the contrary, he deceives the people. However, no one spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. So far, God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word. So who was walking in Galilee, Ezekiel? You have to work on finishing your food faster so that you can answer in family worship. Jesus. Victoria, why wasn't he walking in Judea?
Because the Jews sought to kill him.
Yes, the Jews sought to kill him. But what was going on in Judea at that time? Verse 2, John.
Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand.
Okay, so what was going on in Judea? Up in Jerusalem? The Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. Tabernacle means tent. So every year, once a year, the nation of Israel was to have a giant tent camp out in Jerusalem to remember when they lived in tents in the wilderness. Okay, what did his disciples, not disciples, what did his brothers, what did Jesus' brothers tell him to do, Beatrice? Go up to the feast. Where?
In Judea.
In Judea. And what were they trying to do there? What were the Jews from Judea trying to do? To kill him. Why would Carissa, why would his brothers tell him to go somewhere where the leaders were trying to kill him? Because they did not believe in him. Very good. That's exactly what verse 5 says. If you have a sibling that you are against, and that's the only two options with Jesus, you either are for him or you hate him. Anybody who claims to be agnostic, not to be sure about Jesus, hates him. Okay? If you don't believe in him as the living God, you hate him. Because you are despising his glory. Someone who does not believe in God hates God. Someone who does not believe in Jesus hates Jesus. That is, when we come to realize that about ourselves, that he is the living God, and that has been plain and obvious, but that we have not been believing in him, and that therefore we have been treating him opposite what he deserves. We have been hating him and his divinity. When we realize that about ourselves, and we're willing to admit that about ourselves and trust in him for forgiveness, that is when we repent and believe. Okay, so his brothers did not believe in him. In fact, they are from the world. So what does Jesus say that the world does to him in verse 7? Emmett.
Hates him because he does not the works of evil.
Hates him because he testifies of them that their works are evil. Now, for you siblings, it is not your job to be the Messiah, prophet, teacher who announces the kingdom of heaven and what the works of the kingdom of heaven look like and what the works of the world and of the devil look like. You are learning those things, and you do encourage one another as brothers and sisters in Christ about those things, but you don't have the particular office of teaching those things like a mom and dad do to their children, or a dad does to his wife and children, or an elder does to the church. Jesus had this office. He was the last great prophet, and he had this office. He had this job from God to tell everyone what God says. People don't like to hear that their works are evil, whether it's from a brother or sister encouraging them, or a mom and dad teaching them in the home, or a husband teaching his wife, or a congregation hearing the elders teach them. In all of those situations, the flesh hates to be told that its deeds are evil. People work very hard to avoid the fact that their deeds are evil, and it's uncomfortable to have that told. So the world hates Christ. Now, are his brothers at this point among his disciples or among the world? Among the world. So what is Jesus saying? Not just about the world, but about his brothers at this point. That they do what to him? That they hate him. Right? He says, the world cannot hate you. Why not? Because they are of the world. Okay, so he's like, you guys are among those who hate me. You think it's just the people in Judea who hate me? Don't fool yourselves. You hate me. You are as murderous to me in wanting to send me up there as they are in wanting me to come there so they can kill me. Okay, we're good at trying to convince ourselves that we're not as bad as we are. So Jesus is, even at this, in this passage, is testifying to his brothers that their deeds are evil. So, Cassidy, why did Jesus not go up right at the beginning of the feast? Because his time had not yet come, verse 6, because his time had not yet fully come, verse 8. What does that mean, his time yet fully come? Time for what, Cassidy? Okay, time not, probably if all we had was verse 6, we would say, well, that might just be about the feast. But not yet fully come in verse 8. What's that talking about? Time for what? His death on the cross, okay? So Jesus is going to go to the feast, but he's going to go to it in a way that does not yet provoke the crucifixion. Okay? There's next year's Passover. He's going to be the Passover lamb. Or next year's tabernacle. Sorry, this was tabernacles. Where were we? Yeah, it was not until later that he was going to go up and be crucified. So he's going to come to this feast in a way that does provoke an argument, but it provokes the argument publicly within the crowds in a way such that even those who had made everyone else afraid, they're going to be afraid later. Okay? So the crowds are doing what about Jesus in verse 11 and 12? Whom are the Jews seeking in verse 11, Ezekiel? Jesus. The Jews are seeking Jesus in verse 11. And they don't see him. So what's going on in verse 12 about Jesus, John? Some are saying...
And there was much complaining among the people.
Okay, so there's complaining concerning him. And some are saying what, Victoria? Some are saying what, Beatrice? He's good. Others are saying what, Carissa?
He
deceives the people. And why isn't anyone speaking about him openly, Emmett?
For fear of the Jews.
For fear of the Jews. So everybody knows that the Jews here, meaning the leaders of the Jews, hate him and want to kill him. And there is much arguing about him. And we see here what Jesus said, that he came not to bring peace, but to a sword, and that he would be the cause of the rising of many and the falling of many in Israel, and that the great dividing line in all of humanity is what we think about Jesus. So each of you have to determine which side of that line you're going to be on. There's a line dividing all humanity into two groups. The ones who are disciples of Jesus, who trust in him and believe in him as God, who became a man to die on the cross and rise again, save us from our sins. So that's one side. If you believe that, then you're his disciple. Then you have to be willing for the world to hate you. You have to be willing to testify that the deeds of the world are evil and know that you may pay with your life. Okay, we have brothers and sisters in Reformed Presbyterian Church in China, some of whom may have already paid with their lives. They hadn't been heard from for weeks. The rest of the church hadn't heard from them in weeks. So that's one side. And if you're going to choose to be on that side, know what you're choosing. And know that if you choose to be on the other side, you're choosing not to be a gentler person or more attractive to the world or winsome or nice. But you're choosing to be an enemy of Jesus who hates him and wants him dead. If you try to kill the idea of Jesus as the God-man from your heart so that you don't have to follow him, you don't have to obey him, you don't have to sacrifice for him, you don't have to be hated for him. If you try to do away with that idea of Jesus, then you're doing away with the only true idea of Jesus. Invent for yourself another idea? Is it Jesus that you're trusting in? If you trust in another idea, no, you're just trusting in or believing in or loving a figment of your imagination. And replacing the true Jesus with a false Jesus is idolatry and hatred of Christ, isn't it? Okay, so you're either going to be on one side or the other. You have to choose. Count the cost. Know what you're choosing. But choose to trust in him and follow him, obey him, to say no to your own sinful desires, to testify of your own works and the works of the world, that their deeds are evil, and to worship the Lord Jesus as your God. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would help us, because we see here in this part of your word that either we are believers in and followers of and loving and obeying you in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, or then we are your enemies and haters of him. And Lord, We don't like to be hated by the world, and we're afraid of what it might cost us. And it's uncomfortable for us to cross our own wills when obedience to Jesus means refusing our flesh. But Lord, it is much more terrible and much more fearful to be an enemy of Christ, to be made a footstool for his feet and to have his foot on our neck and know that we would be destroyed and punished in your wrath forever. We thank you that you are merciful to those who deserve to be his enemies, that you give the gospel call to come and find rest with you and to follow Christ, to be forgiven by him, belong to him, and have his spirit in us. How great is your mercy to sinners. Grant to us to see that mercy, to love him, to love you, to trust in him, that all of the cost would be so very worth it, because you have made us to know and to see and to love and to trust in who you are. Grant then that we would live as your disciples today, we ask in Jesus' name. And your children here say,
Amen.
Amen.